الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are many ways in which we divide our lives, and so you can divide life into youth and then adulthood, and then your senior ages. And you can divide life into many different ways. One of the ways that you can divide life is basically into three stages. And those stages are essentially work, rest, and play. So these are basically the three phases that a human being goes through. Either you're working, or you're resting, or you're playing. Now, pretty much all human beings accept these three divisions. If you ask anybody, you know, depending on how you want to divide up life, you can divide it in many different ways, but if you went to somebody and said, you know, do you think this is an appropriate way to divide up your life, that there should be a period of work, there should be a period of rest, and there should be a period of play, everybody would say, yes, this is basically the summary of life, these three stages. So all human beings accept these three stages, but based on a person's faith, these three stages are divided differently. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, the person who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the person who doesn't act like they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they put all three phases in the life of hayat ad-dunya, in the life of this world. So they balance these three phases in this 50, 60, 70 year life. So what do they say? They say, well, Monday through Friday is work. Evenings are for rest. And the weekends are for play. Or they'll divide it in some respect in that manner. Right? They'll say that the fall, the spring, these are times of, in the winter, these are times of work. And then we get summer break, so that's a time of play. So in essence, that they'll divide it in varying, they'll divide it in different ways, but all of it will be placed into the life of this world. So they look to accomplish all three things in this life. So number one, they agree they have to work, and they put full effort at that work. And then they agree that they have to rest, and they're careful about their rest. You talk to people, it's such a big topic. I need my 8 hours. I need my 9 hours. I need my 8.5 hours. If I don't get my 8.5 hours, I'm not fresh. And then they put a tremendous amount of effort into play. They plan vacations. They plan various recreation events. They spend the weekend thinking about how they're going to get away from the whole week of work. How are we going to spend the weekend so we can forget about the week of work? So all three of these phases, they place into the life of this world. That's because there is no other place to put it. For them, there is no other place. They believe in one life, or they at least act like they believe in one life, and so everything needs to be placed in this life. But for the person who has faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who recognizes the reality of this life, they also agree in these three phases. But they divide the phases differently. So how do they divide the phases? First of all, they look at hayat ad-dunya as a place of work. This life that we're in right now, the person who has faith and who understands how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides time recognizes that this is the place of struggle and toil. This life, this 50-year life, 60-year life, it could be a 10-day life, it may be a hundred-year life. But basically, they recognize that this is the place of work, this is the place of effort. Subhanallah. To such an extent, that in the ayah that I recited in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the Jum'ah prayer. Now, in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the people that when Jummah prayer is over, after the Jummah prayer has been completed, then disperse through the land. وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ And look for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the explanation, one of the explanations of that verse is that after the Jummah prayer, you should go to work. You should go disperse through the land and begin to work in order to earn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So look, even in the day of Jummah, and even with such an event as a Friday prayer, even after that, the Muslim is encouraged to continue to seek the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see how much effort is placed on, how much emphasis is placed on working. Similarly, traditionally within the Islamic environment, there is no concept of a weekend. There is no concept of a weekend. When I was studying abroad, that was perhaps the most unique thing about our schedule. There was no weekend. We used to go to school 6 days a week, and even sometimes on Friday. And Saturday and Sunday were equivalent to every other day. We used to study on those days. You wouldn't even know. There was no concept of now today I'm going to take a break. Every day was a day of work. And the day that wasn't for work, there was still effort. But effort was placed on Jummah. Preparing for the Jummah prayer, getting ready for the Jummah prayer, going early to the Jummah prayer, etc. So it was constant struggle. It was constant toil. Why? Because this is the place of work. This is the place where the mu'min places their effort. Similarly, if you look at the way that the Sahaba treated the Islamic calendar, there weren't very many holidays. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed two holidays, and those were the 2 days that the Sahaba used to celebrate. In fact, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and he found the people celebrating on a different day, meaning they were celebrating the Eids at that time, but they also were celebrating some other days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade them from celebrating on those days. Stating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established these two holidays, the two Eids. And those were the days of rest, those were the days of celebration. Otherwise, the vast majority of the Islamic calendar is designed in such a way that every day is equivalent to every other day. Why? Because every single day is a day of work, every single day is a day of toil. Okay? So if the mu'min, the individual who focuses on Allah and who focuses on the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's division of time, puts all their work into the life of this world, then when do they rest? Well, the place of rest is in the grave. The place of rest is in the grave. There are so many examples of our Kabir making statements to this effect. But I'll just give you one example of a statement that I once heard Sheikh Zulfikar make. So I was sitting with him, and he was very tired. And any of you who've interacted with him before, if you've met him before, you know he really works to the nth degree. So much so that he's meeting people. He'll be sitting in front of people, talking to them, and he'll be falling asleep. But he'll wake up, listen, and then he'll fall asleep, wake up, listen, because he's so knocked out from having continuously worked. So one day he was sitting, and he was talking to people, and there was just a line of people. And I was sitting fairly close to him. And someone came and they said to him, why don't you rest? You're so tired. You've met so many people. There's this line of people waiting to meet with you. Why don't you just rest? So his eyes were bloodshot. He just looked up, and he said that, inshallah, we'll rest in the grave. Inshallah, we'll rest in the grave. So this is the way our Akabar used to use their time. This is the way that the Sahaba used to use their time. They used to recognize that, look, for example, I mean, it's a simple business concept. Let's say that you have to rent a car. You have 10 tasks that you need to perform. And you know that if you rent the car for 24 hours, you can do those tasks. So what are you going to do? You're going to rent the car and you're going to drive it all day and all night so that you can return it and get maximum usage out of it. You're not going to use it for a few hours, keep it the next day, use it for a few hours, keep it the next day, and use it for a few hours, because you're going to lose out. When you could have done all that work in the 24-hour period to maximize your return on your investment. So same with this body. This body's rented. We're not taking this body anywhere. It was given to us for a specified period of time. And in that specified period of time, you use it how much you want. You can maximize it and use it, continuously keep it in fifth gear and drive it for 60 years so that this body takes your soul to a certain place, which is the doorstep of Jannah. Or You can use it, stop using it, take a break, use it, stop using it, take another break, and you won't get as far as you could have if you would have just continuously driven it for that 60-year life. So every single moment for the mu'min is a moment of struggle. And you see this too in the example of the Prophet ﷺ. Even during his sleep, subhanAllah, you read the hadith about the Prophet ﷺ's sleep, and you go through them and you see that the Prophet ﷺ would go to bed, and then he would wake up. And then he would begin worshipping again until he would become tired, then he would go to bed, then he would wake up. Then he would worship again until he was tired, then he would go to bed, then he would wake up. SubhanAllah, this would happen multiple times each night. Multiple times each night the Prophet ﷺ would be going to bed, waking up, going to bed, waking up, going to bed, waking up, continuously worshipping. When giving the body the rest that it needed, but then driving the body as far as it could take his soul. On each interaction with time when he was awake. And similar with the Sahaba. And similar with the people who follow in their footsteps. And I've seen this with my teachers, I've seen this with the example of the righteous. That they take this body as a rental unit and they drive it to maximize the economy that they get out of it. Now, if the life of this world is our place of struggle, toil, and work, and the life of the grave is our place of rest, we're going to sleep there for how many years, only Allah knows. Then where is our place of play? Our place of play is in Jannah. And that's exactly what Jannah is. We don't have any other place of play. We have one permanent playground. And that permanent playground is in Jannah. Now what's amazing is that if you read through the Quran, and you read through the descriptions of Jannah, all of them are similar. All of them describe Jannah as a place without toil and as the ultimate vacation. As the ultimate place of play. Every single amenity is available. To the extreme degree. And that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed Jannah. It's as your place of rest. There will be no struggle there. There will be no toil there. It will only just be a place of rest. It will be the ultimate abode. Now, what's interesting is that sometimes people have dreams about Jannah. And it's common for people to have dreams about Jannah. People will call up and say they had a dream, or you'll read in books about the various people who have dreams describing Jannah. One of the very common themes is that they say they were playing. Somebody will call and say, I had a dream about Jannah. I was playing tag with my family. We were running around a tree, we were playing tag. It's a very common theme, and that's exactly what Jannah will be like. It'll just be happiness upon happiness, relaxation and play. All a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this spectrum is how an individual has to lay out their life. The person who has no faith in the hereafter, the person who doesn't recognize what the division of time is about, they see everything occurring within this life. They need their 8 hours of sleep or they're not going to be able to function. Right? They need their rest and relaxation time or they're not going to be able to function. And then they need their time for work. So for us, the division is very different. Now that doesn't necessarily negate the need for rest in this life. Obviously the body has a right over us and the Prophet ﷺ defined these things for us. But we're talking about the dominant opinion of life. Yes, we need rest and nobody's denying that our bodies need to rest. They have a right over us. And the Prophet ﷺ assigned a sunnah for rest. But not excessive rest, balanced rest. And the rest is not, the purpose of rest is not rest. The purpose of rest is to recharge the body so it can continue to work. It's a very different outlook. Alright? Similarly, you'll see that the Prophet ﷺ, he relaxed in the sense that he did enjoy time with people in this life. You'll find stories of the Prophet ﷺ playing, racing with his wife, for example. So it doesn't negate having fun, being able to smile in this life, but what it has its place. It's recognizing that things have their place and recognizing what the purpose of this life is. That's what I'm trying to highlight. And at the same time, recognizing what we're going to be doing in the grave. It's just an extensive sleep. We will sleep, you'll sleep to your heart's desire in the grave. Right? And then eventually we'll be awoken. And then the reality of our deeds and the reality of what we did and the reality of the work that we put in the end, that's what will be before us. Now, what's interesting is that even the people who don't believe in the Akhirah, They understand the importance of putting off their rest and putting off their fun in order to achieve their goals. For example, if you meet anybody who's serious about their academic studies, whether they be going to some professional school or whether they be committed to some type of study, what do? They give up their weekends. They give up their time of fun and they work. And why do they work? They say, well, I'm going to work this 20 years, I'm going to work this 30 years so that I become established. Then I'm really going to rest, then I'm really going to have fun. So you talk to people who are becoming neurosurgeons. They put off everything for 10 years, right? They say, well, I'm going to sign up for a 7-year training program and I'm not going to do anything for that 7 years except live in the hospital. I'm going to work, 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 but when I'm done, I'm going to really enjoy it. Then I'm really going to have fun. So subhanAllah, the people who seek success in the life of this world, they also understand this balance to some degree, but they still place it within the life of this world. So then they divide it this way. They say the first 30 years is struggle. And when you put in the time, then eventually you'll really be able to relax and you'll really be able to rest. So they also divide it. People who understand the value of time also divide it the way the mu'min does. Except that we extend that spectrum to include the entire life because we recognize that this life is just a test. It's just set up for us in this way. So that we can, inshallah, rest properly in our grave. And so that, inshallah, we can have the rewards of the Day of Judgment. So as we begin to make our schedules, as we begin to plan our lives, it's very important to have this paradigm in our minds. And it really applies when you're young. When you're 20, 30, 40, 50, and you have energy. Now when you become 80 and then you start making this kind of plan, well, you've used up most of your life. And most of your energy is dissipated from you. Fine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your eyes at that time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you accordingly. But we're not people who sit when we're 30 years old and begin to plan that we'll do it when we're 80. Right? That's when we'll become regular in the masjid. That's when we'll start finally devoting time to Quran once I'm 60 and I retire. No, this is the time. This is the time where your body has energy, your mind is energetic, you can focus, you have strength, you have abilities. This is the time to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put time into learning the deen. Put time into dhikr. Put time into helping to establish the masjid. Helping to establish the jama'ah, etc. And that, inshallah, will then result in a very, very peaceful sleep in the grave. And that peaceful sleep, inshallah, will just transition itself slowly into a very, very extended, permanent vacation in Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who use every moment of this life to establish His great name and who have the opportunity to rest peacefully in their graves. And who received the incredible reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for those people who raise His great name in this world on the Day of Judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.